Have you ever been in so much pain that the only thing you could do to protect yourself was to try and stop your emotions? It's extremely difficult when life doesn't work out the way we planned. We're all capable of withstanding a lot of pain, including loss, rejection, so much so that we come with a built-in mechanism to deal with danger called our fight or flight response. So when faced with challenging times in life, like losing your job, breakups, where the outcome is often determined by a third party, the option to fight almost feels as though it's taken out of your hands. Sometimes the only response that you're left with is to run. Run away and hide, or to escape and bury your head in the sand. If you observe athletes competing on the world stage, you'll notice that the great ones are often composed, unflappable under pressure, and laser focused. And as an athlete myself, I understood that once game day arrived, there was only a certain amount of things that were under my control. I remember the morning of my bid to win the gold medal at the Commonwealth Games. I woke up early around 5 a.m. and my routine was to put on my crop top and running shorts and stand in front of the mirror and rehearse my hurdles race before leaving the hotel. I knew that the things that I could control before my race were things like, what equipment am I packing? Do I have everything I need? How hydrated do I need to be? How much food should I eat before my first event? And when can I expect to eat again? Who should I sit next to on the bus? What music am I going to listen to? How many practice runs should I do before my race? And what time do I need to check in? And therefore, how much time do I need to warm up? And ultimately, there were always these things that were out of your control. The weather, for one. Who would be drawn in the lanes either side of me? And would we have opposing lead legs, meaning that sometimes you would battle, literally physically battle, smacking arms with one another over every hurdle, obviously slowing you down in the process. The wind, would it be a headwind and would I have to push out of the blocks really hard? Or would it be a tailwind and would I have to chop my stride into that first hurdle? Simple things like, would my event even run on time or be delayed? As composed as you are standing on the starting line with 40,000 people watching you, there's a beautiful silence that you're met with as the starter says, on your marks. The stadium is silent in respect of your concentration, and there's a blissful moment of surrender when you hand over all control to your body to do what you know it can do, react in laser-fast time to the starting gun. In the back of every athlete's mind is the fear of what happens if my body doesn't react. What happens if I choke? What happens if I get left in the blocks? In a hurdles race, what you do out of those starting blocks is especially important because the entire race is largely based on rhythm and stride length. Force the race and attack too hard and you'll find yourself too close to the barrier, probably crashing through it and deadening your speed and sometimes yourself. Push too little and you'll end up too far away and probably crash into the barrier anyway, with the added pressure of having to claw back the inches on every remaining hurdle. It was such a fine balance between aggression, timing, and control. I was an excellent hurdler. So why the hell do I suck when it comes to surrendering to my emotions, and more importantly, to my pain? Surrender is the acceptance of the present moment. I recently realised that I have a hard time accepting the present. In some ways, that's good. If somebody tells me no, I won't stop until I get a yes. In my world, there's no such thing as a no. If somebody tells me I can't do something, my response is always, watch me. And why? Well, if I believed in no, then there would never have been an Olympic Games for me. If I believed that I couldn't become a gold medalist, then I would have never have become one. So if there's ever an option to fight for what I want in life, I'm going down all guns blazing. It's just who I am. Where this doesn't work, however, is where people are concerned. You can't force other people to like you, want to employ you, to love you, respect you, or believe in you. You have to learn to accept and surrender to the fact that these things are out of your control. Recently, I had a conversation with a friend that was very painful, and ultimately, I didn't get what I wanted from the discussion. I was hurt, I felt rejected, embarrassed, and it knocked my confidence. Rather than fight at this moment in time, because my natural response to everything is to want to win, I decided to listen, and I listened closely. This person had taken time out of their day to tear me to pieces. What I realised was that they cared enough to show up and give me this information face to face, and I respected that. I absorbed the character assassination in great detail and decided to surrender. I didn't want to change his words or control what he was telling me. I didn't behave angrily or hurt. I just sat there and absorbed everything. I sat with my emotions too. I accepted how hurt I was, and I acknowledged that I had some work to do. My point being is that there are times in life when we try to force our wins because we're convinced that winning, and winning now, is all that matters. We're worried about how it looks from the outside if we don't win, if we're not where we're supposed to be, with who we're supposed to be with, wearing what we're supposed to be wearing. I've come to understand that all of that is bullshit. You are where you're at, and that's a result of your present. And as a result of your present, there's a limit to what you'll attract in your life. The big mistake that I've always made in the past is to keep pushing when, in fact, I'm beginning to understand the beauty, strength, and lessons that are to be learned when you surrender to the present. You see, surrendering is not giving up. It's the state of giving in. In giving in, you acknowledge that you're not in control, and whilst you're not always happy with the present moment, you're okay with it. It's livable, but it will get better. In giving in, we remind ourselves what it is to be patient for what we want. In giving in, we trust our process. In giving in, we can be happy for other people's successes along the way because we're safe and secure in the knowledge that our own blessings are on their way too. In giving in, we trust that what is meant for us won't miss us. It requires a lot of confidence to surrender, and I appreciate that it's a challenging thing to do, especially when we're taught to make things happen, to chase what we want. But if we stop looking out for those big wins, we don't try and force them. They come back to us when it's our time. They come because we're no longer looking for them and we no longer need them to feel good about ourselves for validation. We've surrendered and accepted that what's meant for us will find its way to us. And if that job, that guy, that girl, that opportunity passes you by, then believe there is something better upon the horizon. Now, for those of you who are in a place where you're ready to surrender, I recommend you come to this podcast every week with a pen, paper, and spend a few minutes after just writing down the answers to the questions that I'm asking. Give your feelings the attention that they deserve. The more you sit with them, the less you'll struggle and the more connected you'll become. So the questions I have for you this week, Slay Squad, are: what are you not trying to hear right now? Why is that painful to you? What are the words that you need to hear right now? And what's going to happen to you if you don't hear them? So as a reminder, surrender to the present, for it's a direct result of your own actions. The good news is that you're now in a place to learn from your mistakes or your lack of performance. I'm not fighting anymore, but I'm not giving up either. I'm not trying to force the life that I want. I now accept that what I seek will reveal itself to me once I've done the work. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of The Art of Slay. Next week, we'll be talking about substitution. And if you want to catch up with me face to face or for a one-to-one, you'll find me down at the Slay Gym in Hollywood.